As most of you know, my dad and I used to love to go up onto the Mountain Fork River in Oklahoma and go fishing. And one of the things that we were fishing for was bait. Bait for the trot line. We would fish for perch, bluegill, goggle-eye. Sometimes we'd catch some smallmouth bass, sometimes largemouth bass. Sometimes we'd have a war on that fly rod, but we'd bring it in. And if it was real small, it'd go on the trot line. And so Dad and I would bait that trot line in hopes of catching largemouth bass and, of course, catfish. Yummy, delicious, frying up catfish. Nothing like it in the world. Yum, 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 yum. Anyway, yes, indeed. Amen, brothers and sisters. Amen. We had baited the line with mostly little perch one day, and we had gone out to do some more fishing down the Mountain Fork a short distance and back up again in order to run the trot line in the afternoon. And we got back there, and Dad can reach down, pull on that trot line. He can tell you what's on it. And he's usually right. So we're running that trot line. You can tell by the touch how it wiggles and taps. And sure enough, yep, two turtles and a gar were on it. Yeah, but there was also two really big, yummy, delicious channel cat. We were happy. So we got them off. We got them into the boat. We went on ashore, we dragged them up, and Dad started showing me, this is the part I hated the most about fishing, by the way, showing me how to clean them. Ugh. And as we opened this up, we discovered that while we had baited the trot line with perch, apparently we had caught a bass, and then that bass caught a catfish. And Dad said, this is the perfect visual illustration. The perfect visual illustration of the danger that we face in this life. It just goes to show, no matter how good you are, no matter how excellent your argument, no matter how pretty you may be, there's always a bigger fish, friends. Chomping at each other isn't something that Jesus wants us to do. And yet the church majors in it. We're going around and around and around in circles, chomping on each other. Paul had written, the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. This was said to a church in a time and a place where Paul had been undergoing a large degree of opposition. In fact, there were groups within the church that were fighting each other, factions on the left and factions on the right. Some of those were Jewish Christians. Some of those were Gentile Christians. They were disagreeing about what was required in order to be a Christian or to be saved. And they would be arguing about whether or not you should have to circumcise the men and cook kosher and wear the right kinds of clothing. Could you even possibly be converted if you were not yet first a Jew? Was one of the big issues involved. Paul had already made it clear that salvation came by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and not by the works of the law, certainly not by circumcision. Yet the fighting and the disagreement was still going on. The name calling was still underway. And this is where Paul is saying that if we devour and bite one another, take care that we're not consumed by one another. Arguments and disagreements can occur in local churches. They can occur in denominations. They happen. This is a warning from the first century to today, that they can overcome us. And when we think we have won, whammo, a bigger fish comes along and we end up chasing our tails, going absolutely nowhere. On the front of your bulletins, that picture was drawn by my dad that day. I had a Bible with me with some marker paper in it. And he saw that evening, and he started to scribble, draw that little picture of the fish going in a circle And he wrote Galatians 5:15 down at the bottom to remind me as I pastor churches that this kind of thing is nothing new. It goes on again and again and again. And wherever it occurs, no matter what side we may be on, we're in the midst of engaging in the desires and the works of the flesh. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious, he writes. And then he gives this list. It's a long list, friends. Fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, angers, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. As if this wasn't a good enough list, he adds more to it. And things like these. Let's take a look at this list for just a moment. That first one. Sometimes some of these get more attention than others, like fornication. The Greek word is porneia. We get the word pornography from it. And the general definition of the word porneia in the Greek lexicon is harlotry and prostitution. Huh? Yep. Sex outside the marriage covenant, particularly for power or gain. Several places in the Bible, it is referenced in connection with pagan religious practices, and especially those found in the Gentile world. Another word, impurity, it's kind of a nebulous, squishy word. Literally, it means dirty or filthy. Licentiousness, now that one sounds racy, doesn't it? Licentiousness. Well, it means, in English, licentious means lacking in restraints, lacking in self-control. Doesn't sound as much fun, does it? Idolatry, the worship of other gods, or the placing of something else in the place of God. Sorcery, which means getting things by trickery, getting your way by tricking others. I thought that meant magic. No. It means getting your way by tricking or fooling someone else. Enmities, which is mutual hatred or ill will. Strife, battle, warfare, struggling, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy. That sounds like General Conference, doesn't it? Drunkenness. Oh, that's an easy one. Well, what about carousing? I looked that one up. The party that you've been at where you're engaged in drunkenness is carousing. Ooh, woo-hoo. And things like these. That's quite a list, isn't it? Especially when you get to things like strife and jealousy and anger and quarrels and dissensions and factions and envy. You know, at first we were feeling okay. I mean, you know, fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, I mean, you know, sorcery. I mean, you know, we can kind of figure out that, you know, maybe it's not so bad. Maybe we're not part of this group. And then he starts naming these things that we kind of do frequently. Jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy. Oh, no. And then he says, I'm warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You mean quarrels is the same as, oh, I don't know, fornication on this issue? Well, he's in the same list. Oh. Well, then, who gets into heaven? Well, it's not by obeying the law. It's by living by faith and having the fruit of the Spirit alive in your life. Jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy. Wow. All of us can find ourselves somewhere in some of these lists. And if you say no, well, then you've got lying on your hands too. What about the fruit of the Spirit? Let's get around it. Let's just leave that one. I don't want to talk about that one. This desires of the flesh is icky. Besides, I'm stepping on my toes. Let's move forward. The fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, let's go for the fruit of the Spirit. By contrast, I love how he says by contrast here. By contrast to the negative characteristics of the works of the flesh, these are the fruit, singular, of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Wow. Well, we like the love and the joy and the peace part, but patience can be tough. How many times have you asked God for patience and God given you reasons to be patient? Kindness, generosity. One of my favorite songs from the play Camelot is sung by Mordred, the seven deadly virtues. And in part of it, he says, if charity means giving, I give it to you. Wow. Generosity, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. These are wonderful sounding ideas, wonderful sounding fruit. We'd love to see ourselves in it. But there are times when we know, if we're honest with ourselves, that there's less of the fruit of the Spirit and sometimes more of the desires of the flesh in us. And that's when we need to come to the table of the Lord. That's when we need to read Scripture. That's when we need to pray. That's when we need to serve. That's when we need to give. That's when we need to fellowship together. That's when we need to serve together. That's when we need to worship together. That's when we need to sing together. When we find the desires of the flesh overriding the fruit of the Spirit. When we come to the table of the Lord, we're feasting on the riches of His grace, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control come to us. And the desires of the flesh, these horrible jealousies and quarrels and dissensions and factions and envies and drunkenness, this idolatry and sorcery and licentiousness and impurity and desires of the flesh are pushed away. That's why Paul says that it's by contrast he makes this list of the fruit of the Spirit. Those who belong to Christ Jesus, he writes, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. When we come to the table of the Lord, we come to the fruit of the Spirit. And we're saying no to the desires of the flesh in all of their manifestations. We're saying no to those characteristics, those desires, those needs that would draw us away from Christ. And we're saying yes to the fruit of the Spirit that draw us to Christ. Today, as you come to the table of the Lord, and as you receive the sacrament of Holy Communion, allow God's grace to so infuse your life and being that the fruit of the Spirit flow forth. The fruit of the Spirit flow forth with love and joy and peace, patience and kindness, generosity and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. And let the grace of God push those desires of the flesh out of your life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's people say, Amen. Amen.
Christ our Lord invites to his table. All who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Let us pray. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you. Forgive all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on all the earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time will come to save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, the Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of the faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. As our Savior Christ has taught us, let us pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For the disciples knew the Lord Jesus in the breaking of the bread.
In your bread.